Good morning. So, puppets at church, but puppets at church, that's right. You guys are used to this. Some people would be a little confused. So I thought before we did some plays, can I hang out there? That I would talk a little bit about the history of how this group of puppets came to be here. And some of you know it, and some of you don't. So my mother, Ginny, was a writer. She journaled, and she wrote stories. She might even have a novel or two started somewhere in the stacks of stuff in my garage. We'll get there. We attended the First Baptist Church in Cooperstown when we were growing up, and at some point in the early 80s, she had the idea that she might like to try her hand at puppet theater. And with that, a group of puppet performers called Hezekiah's People was born. It's a little puppet troupe that performed at the church, at VBS programs, Pathfinder Camp, and even at a retirement event for teachers in Milford. Someone in the church was on the school board and asked her, and they did this whole thing about teachers at Milford. I think they even took the show on the road, traveling around various locations in central New York. I didn't puppet with them at that point in time, because I was in college. So fast forward a little, and my mom and dad joined this church. And after some time, my mom worked up her nerve to ask pastor, and it might have been Tom Polyblank, I'm not 100% sure which person it was in the line of pastors, if there could be a puppet ministry here. And she already had a lot of plays written, and some people purchased puppets, they were donated, the church, I believe, purchased a few, and she was off and running. And all of the puppets have biblical names, and they all have their own very, very distinct personalities. Some examples, Grandma Kezia, she is very, very wise. She's a people puppet, kind of like the little guy that Dr. Chris brought forward. She's a people puppet, very, very wise, and uses that wisdom to help the younger puppets. There's Davy, I think that's Davy right there, and Ruthie, and then there are countless animal puppets, like Esther the donkey, who I would say has a bold and, are you ready, brazen personality. It's a good one, isn't it? Obadiah the church mouse, he's very studious. He's heard countless services, and he has a good knowledge of the good book. There are a pair of skunks, a lion, a porcupine, an alligator, and even a bullfrog named, of course, Jeremiah. Today, the puppets have been asked to share during the service. And there are three puppets who are going to do that today. One of them is Hezekiah the chipmunk. He's named in honor of the original Hezekiah, who I think was a toucan or something along those lines. There's another one that is Paul the macaw, who you will hear from loudly. Paul is very loud, very bold, but also very smart. And then the main puppet is my good friend, Samson. Samson is, I think he was my mom's favorite because he's fun to write for, and he's been fun for me to write for. She described him as a bull in a china shop with a heart of gold, and he tries very hard to be helpful, but something always seems to go just a little bit wrong, or just a lot of bit wrong. I think some of the problems that Samson faces or has faced comes from a real event in my brothers' lives, things my brothers did. Not anything I would have ever done, but my brothers did. I hope you enjoy these puppets today. Samson will kind of be the thread that leads through the three plays and a little bit of time after our scripture reading. And I really, truly appreciate Pastor Sharon and this congregation continuing this legacy that my mom started back in the 80s. It means a lot to me, and it means a lot to our family. So thank you very much, and you'll see these guys in a little bit. This first one is called Carrying a Grudge, and it's a monologue by Samson. Hi, people. So good to see you all. Many of you know me, and for those who don't, my name is Samson, and I love to be helpful. That's my motto. Be helpful. Sometimes, though, my intentions don't always work out the way that I would like them to. There was a time I painted some chairs, but I guess I forgot to put a wet paint sign on them. And, well, You can probably guess what happened. It was a good color on that man's suit, though. Another time, I wanted to help with community dinner, and I asked what I could do. Julie told me I could toss the salad. I asked Benjamin Bunny to help me. He stood on one side of the kitchen, and I stood on the other. We worked hard tossing that salad back and forth and back and forth. Unfortunately, one of the tosses went a little crazy, and well, you can probably guess what happened. It was a bad timing that Julie came in just as we were in mid-toss. She looked a little like the produce aisle at the grocery store. And I know those things are kind of funny, kind of. At least they are now. But there was this one time that wasn't all that funny, not to me. It was April Fool's Day, and one of the puppets, I won't say who, thought it would be a good idea to change all the sugar with the salt and all the salt with the sugar. He didn't just change it in the shakers, though. That would have been enough. But, well, he also mixed them all together in all the containers, too. I don't think that April Fool's joke went over well with anyone. Not the people at coffee hour or the people at community dinner. It ruined lots of things, and all the sugar and salt downstairs had to be replaced. But you know what was even worse? Worse than that bad salt and sugar and other food? He blamed it on me, telling them I told him I was trying to be helpful. I guess his real practical joke was to trick me. I was really, really mad at him for a long time. I didn't want to see him or talk to him or anything. I was carrying a grudge, and I did that for quite a while. One day, Obadiah came to see me. He's the church mouse, you know, and he's been around here a long time. I think he's heard a lot of sermons and read and listened to the Bible a lot. I think he's the wisest church mouse in the world. He told me a story about two men in the Old Testament, two brothers, twins. One was named Esau and one was named Jacob. Esau was older by just a little bit, and that meant a lot in those days. Obadiah said that because he was the oldest, he was going to inherit everything from his father. Jacob, younger by just a smidgen, wouldn't get anything. Esau had what they used to call the birthright. One day, Jacob was cooking some soup, and I guess he was a pretty good cook, and I bet it smelled really good. Esau came in from outside. He was very, very hungry. He wanted some of that soup. Jacob said he would give it to him for his birthright. It seems Esau didn't care too much about that birthright, but he did care about being hungry. He agreed to give it to his brother. Another time, their mother helped Jacob trick his father into giving him the top primo blessing, too. Esau was mad, and Jacob had to leave home. He stayed away for 20 years. 20 years he was afraid to go home, he was afraid of his brother, and I bet his brother held a grudge against Jacob for some of that time, too. Imagine that, Obadiah said. Being tricked and holding a grudge against someone for a long time. I began to see where he was going. I tried to plead my case about what had happened, but Obadiah, in his wisdom, told me that he and the other puppets were concerned that this incident was going to ruin a good friendship, and that those friends were going to miss out on an awful lot, just like Esau and Jacob had. God does want us to forgive, you know. I agreed to meet with that puppet. It was a little weird at first, but you know what? He apologized and said he would do that in front of everyone if I wanted him to. We talked a little more, and I said three very important words. I forgive you. And just like that, the grudge I had been carrying fell away, and it felt so good. Well, thanks so much for listening to my story. I learned a lot that day, and I'm very glad to have my friend back. I guess I should see if there's anything I can do around here. I think I heard something about demolition over at the Parsonage building. What could go wrong with that? Oh, I'm waiting for Hezekiah. He promised he'd help me plant a garden. I'm not quite sure how to do it, but I know Hezekiah, and he will be able to set me straight. Oh, wait, here he comes now.
Hi, Samson. Are you all ready to get started with your garden?
Oh, yes, I am. Oh, let's get going. Come on. I've got the front sidewalk all swept off. We're going to start planting there first.
On the front sidewalk, Samson? You mean beside it, don't you?
No, I mean on it. It's so convenient out there, nice and close to my house.
You can't do that. The seeds won't grow on cement.
How was I supposed to know that? I've never planted a garden before.
Well, you need dirt to plant seeds in. And if you throw the seeds on the sidewalk, all the birds are going to come and eat them up.
So I need dirt? How about in Jeremiah's garbage can? Would they grow in there?
No, you can't do that either. The dirt wouldn't be deep enough for them to grow very well.
I suppose you're right. I don't think there's enough dirt in there. After all, he's a frog, not a pig. He doesn't like living in dirt. I'm running out of places to plant my garden. How about putting it in the blackberry bushes?
Blackberry bushes? All those thorns and prickers? That would be impossible.
Well, I just thought no one would steal my vegetables if there were thorns to protect them.
Good grief. Samson, be sensible, will you? You would get caught in the thorns, too.
Oh, that's true. Well, there's only one place that's left, and that's out on the little piece of ground past the back lawn. The dirt is kind of soft, and it's sunny there sometimes. It would be right out in the rain. I don't think that place is any good.
That's what you want. Good soil, Samson. Water and sunshine.
Say, Hezekiah, this planting a garden business reminds me of that parable in the Bible about the man who sowed the seeds in different places.
I guess it does a little bit.
I wonder what kind of seeds he planted. I'm going to plant carrots and beets and corn and peas. And there's one other thing I'm going to plant.
What's that?
A money tree. That's what.
You can't do that. Money doesn't grow on trees.
Well, Hezekiah, for once you're wrong. I heard some folks talking one day, and they said they got a money tree for an anniversary gift. So there.
Well, that may be true, but let me explain what a money tree is.
Well, you don't have to. A tree is a tree. I'm not the smartest being around, but even I know that. I don't want to be greedy, so I think I'll start with one that grows $5 bills.
Oh, Samson, wait a minute. Now, come on, listen to me, please. You can't just plant money on trees. Oh, dear, I have to go, but we'll talk about it later.
Hey, Samson.
What?
You look very thoughtful. What's going on?
Hi, Paul. Yeah, I guess I'm thinking about some things. Earlier, I was telling the people about Jacob and Esau and forgiving and letting go of my grudge against, well, you know.
Oh, yes, the April Fool's Day salt and sugar episode. What? I'm glad you worked that out.
Me too. Grudges are heavy to carry.
What? What else is on your mind?
Well, Hezekiah and I were talking about gardening and sowing seeds in good soil. Things grow well in it, you know. And we talked about how the message of that story is taking all the good that God gives us and letting it grow and sharing it with others.
What? That sounds right. So why still the deep thoughts?
Well, there's just a lot to think about. The Old Testament, the New Testament, the messages, the parables, the Psalms, all of it. It really is a lot, especially for a little bull like me who occasionally has things go wrong.
Occasionally?
Okay. Sometimes.
Sometimes?
Often?
Yes, that's a good description. Listen, Samson, I think I have something that can help you out.
Really? What's that?
I had a conversation once with a special man. It was easy to see that he understood a lot about the Bible, and you could tell by the way he lived that he had Jesus in his heart. I asked him what it was that helped him. He said it was easy. The best song ever helped him keep his focus and understanding.
A song? Like the Hallelujah Chorus? Or something from Bach or Beethoven or Mozart? I don't see how...
Well, those are good, but this one is a little simpler.
Okay, what is it?
He said this song was the best VBS song, the best camp song, the best song for kids, the best one for grown-ups, the best song for Christmas and Easter. You get the idea.
Wow, that's some kind of song. What is it?
It's Jesus Loves Me.
Really? The one we all learned when we were little kids? How can that be the greatest song?
Think about it. Look at the words.
Jesus loves me, this I know.
That's an awfully good place to start, isn't it?
For the Bible tells me so.
Keep going.
Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. I see what you mean. It really does sum it all up, doesn't it?
It really does. It's kind of the link between the messages of the people like Jacob and Esau and all the things of the Old Testament and the wonderful messages like the sowing of seeds on good soil. God gave us Jesus, and Jesus loves us.
A powerful message in a simple little song we've all known for a long time.
Samson, I have an idea. Let's ask the good people here to sing that great song with us.
Hey, good idea. People, will you join us in this greatest of songs? Jesus.
For the Bible tells me so, little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
That was great.
Do you feel better, Samson?
I do. Thanks, Paul. I think now when I get confused or when I have a little trouble, occasionally, I'll remember that song, The Greatest of Songs.
That sounds like a very good idea.
Take care, everybody. And remember
Jesus loves you.